जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे 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 राम हरे राम हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, कृष्णा हरे 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 राम जय राधा वृंदावन चंद्र राधा वृंदावन चंद्र राधे, जय जगन्नाथ जय जगन्नाथ बलदेवा जय सुभद्रा, जय गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय, जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 प्रभुपाद, गुरुदेव 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 गुरुदेव, श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय, हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Canto 4, Chapter 28, Text 29. Upayeme viryapanam vaidarbhim malayadvajah yudhi nirjitya rajanyan pandyah puranjanayah उपयेमे वीर्यपणाम् वैदर्भिं मलयध्वजः युधि निर्जित्य राजन्यान् पाण्ड्यः परपुरञ्जयः उपयेमे वीर्यपणाम् वैदर्भिं मलयध्वजः युधि निर्जित्य राजन्यान् पाण्ड्यः परपुरञ्जयः। Translation: It was fixed that Vaidarbhi, daughter of King Vidarbha, was to be married to a powerful man, very powerful man, Malayadvaja, an inhabitant of the Pandu country. After conquering other princes, he married the daughter of King Vidarbha. Purport: It is customary among Kshatriyas for a princess to be offered under certain conditions. For instance, Draupadi was offered in marriage to one who could pierce a fish with an arrow simply by seeing the reflection of the fish. Krishna married one of his queens after conquering 7 strong bulls. The Vedic system is for a daughter of a king to be offered under certain conditions. Vaidarbhi, the daughter of King Vidarbha, was offered to a great devotee and powerful king. Since King Malayadvaj was both a powerful king and a great devotee, he fulfilled all the requirements. The name Malayadvaja signifies a great devotee who stands as firm as Malay Hill and through his propaganda makes other devotees similarly as firm. Such a Mahabhagavat can prevail over the opinions of all others. A strong devotee makes propaganda against all other spiritual conceptions, namely jnana, karma and yoga. With his devotional flag unfurled, he always stands fast to conquer other conceptions of transcendental realization. Whenever there is an argument between a devotee and a non-devotee, the pure, strong devotee comes out victorious. The word Pandya, comes from the word Panda, meaning knowledge. Unless one is highly learned, he cannot conquer non-devotional conceptions. The word Para means transcendental and Pura means city. The Parapura is Vaikuntha, the kingdom of God. And the word Jaya refers to one who can conquer. This means that a pure devotee who is strong in devotional service and who has conquered all non-devotional conceptions can also conquer the kingdom of God. In other words, One can conquer the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha, only by rendering devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Ajita, meaning that no one can conquer Him but a devotee by strong devotional service and sincere attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead can easily conquer Him. Lord Krishna is fear personified for everyone, but He voluntarily agreed to fear the stick of Mother Yashoda. Krishna, God, cannot be conquered by anyone but His devotee. Such a devotee kindly married the daughter of King Vidarbha. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश. नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने. नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदे गौर भक्त वृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे. हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. Reading the translation again. It was fixed that Vaidarbhi, daughter of King Vidarbha, was to be married to a very powerful man, Malayadhvaja, an inhabitant of the Pandu country. After conquering other princes, he married the daughter of King Vidarbha. Hare Krishna. The blessings of the Vaishnavas, we will try to speak something on this very beautiful verse from the Puranjanakhyan. So for the past few months we are all hearing the story of King Puranjan. And so far the story is all about how Puranjan, a very great king, he degrades in life. His attachments to his family, his attachment to his wife, his attachment to various yajnas for sense gratification, fulfilling material desires. All of these, they finally cause him to forget the goal of life. And finally he meets Kalakanya, who embraces him. So Kalakanya is old age. And then he meets his enemies, Yavan Raj, who is Bhai. And he meets Prajwar, who is fear, temperature, high temperature. And finally, by the combined attack of Kalakanya, Prajwar, and Yavan Raj, Puranjan, the city in which he is staying, is destroyed. The king is taken as hostage along with his followers. So we see a very tragic end to all the great accomplishments and the plans of Puranjan. And we also know that this is a very amazing allegory being presented by Narad Muni to King Prachina Barhishat. So in the entire Bhagavatam, this is one of the most fascinating pastimes where there is indirect preaching going on, and Prachini Barhishat is hearing the story literally, as in Puranjan is killed, then he takes birth again as a daughter of one king called King Vidarbha, and so on. And he is realizing that something similar is going on in my life as well. So Narad Muni is instructing Prachina Barhishat indirectly through this story. So this is an allegory actually. And this particular verse is the turning point in Puranjan Akhyan. Up to this verse, life was only going down and down and down for Puranjan. But specifically from this verse onwards, we see that Puranjan again advances in life. He again advances on the path of going back to Godhead. And whatever he thought was auspicious earlier actually turned out to be inauspicious, because he could not avoid death by the hands of Yavanraj and Prajwar. Defeat, that is, instead of death. But henceforth, we see that all auspicious things start from this verse in the life of Puranjan. So Puranjan, who was a male Purush enjoyer, husband earlier, now the same person is born as a girl, a daughter, in the house of King Vidarbha. And we see that in this verse, marriage is arranged of Puranjan, Vaidarbhi, that is, in this context, with another king called Malayadhvaja. So there is a literal story, and also there is this deep meaning of the story. So actually, what is, who is Malayadhvaj? Malayadhvaj is actually the spiritual master, guru. So as we dive deep into this verse, we will keep alternating between the literal story, that is Vaidarbhi getting married, and the actual meaning, that is Puranjan finding a spiritual master. We'll begin with the significance of the word Vaidarbhi, that is daughter of King Vidarbha. Why this particular name Vidarbha, and this king called Vidarbha, was chosen? So actually, you see, even before one actually attains a spiritual master, one should, it helps if one is trained from childhood in the culture of spiritual life, in the culture of God consciousness. It helps. Like Prabhupada says, we had the good fortune of being raised in a Krishna conscious atmosphere right from our childhood days. And eventually we met our spiritual master. This is what Prabhupada writes in one of his purports. So, Vidarbha is famous for Rukmini Devi. And Rukmini is the topmost devotee of Krishna in a formal role, in Swakiya Bhav, in formal relation. So the formal relation is that Rukmini is the wife of Krishna, and Rukmini signifies the perfection of how a wife should serve the husband. Perfection of a devotee in a formal relation with Krishna. So we see that Rukmini was trained by her father in devotional principles right from the beginning of her childhood. So much so that Rukmini actually chose Krishna as the husband without even seeing Krishna even once. And such was her absorption in Krishna that when Krishna actually came to kidnap Rukmini and she had never seen Krishna before, the moment she saw Krishna standing as one of the princes, so many
princesses had come, you know, for in the hope of getting Rukmini. But the moment she saw Krishna, she could immediately recognize that here is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the perfection of Rukmini's absorption, that the kind of purity, the kind of training she has received, the kind of single-pointed absorption in Krishna she has achieved, that she could recognize Krishna immediately. So Vidarbha is famous for training in devotional principles and devotional culture right from the beginning of a person's age, that is childhood. So we see that here Puranjan had the good fortune of being born as the daughter of King Vidarbha, and so he received, that is Vaidarbhi, she received first class training in devotional life. Now how do we know that she actually received first class training? That is, this verse actually tells us indirectly that there was a swayamvar arranged for Vaidarbhi, and many princes came to take her hand, and out of the competition that happened, Malayadhvaj, the most powerful of all kings, defeated all other princes and married Vaidarbhi. So why will the most powerful king Malayadhvaj come and marry somebody who is not qualified? Unless the lady is very, very qualified, such a high level king or prince will not come defeating other kings and other suitors, you know, to receive the hand in marriage. So the point is, when a girl is extremely, let us say, beautiful or extremely qualified, then the expectation is she will also get a suitable match who will also be very highly qualified. That is the general principle of marriage, is it not? And on the other hand, if the girl is not qualified, she doesn't have the right, for example, the right qualities, or she may not be from a rich financial background, or she may not be good looking, and so on and so forth, then accordingly, the expectations are also lowered and she will get somebody accordingly, is it not? Like, for example, you know, Radhishyam Prabhu always tells, you know, in The Voice, you know, devotees want to get married. They think, you know, I should marry Miss Universe, you know, or Miss World at least, or at least Miss India, you know. But then if you look at yourself, you are not Mr. Universe or Mr. World or Mr. India, right? So then, accordingly, the expectations have to be lowered. Huh? So in the same way, when a living entity goes out in search of the absolute truth, then there are many so-called gurus who are waiting in line to go after this disciple. How does a match between wife and husband happen? And how does the match between guru and disciple happen? They're actually very, very similar. Actually, what is marriage here? Marriage is the initiation ceremony of Vaidarbhi, who is accepting Malayadhvaj as guru, spiritual master. So that there is a literal story in which a marriage is happening. But the actual meaning is that a living entity is accepting a spiritual master called Malayadhvaj. And we'll also come to the spiritual master's qualifications in a while. So, if the living entity is serious about the absolute truth, then accordingly, that kind of guru will come in the life of the seeker. And the living entity is not serious of the, you know, about the absolute truth, then accordingly, that kind of guru will come. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say in Vrindavan, at that time, there were so many people who were in Babaji Vesh, you know, and then Prabhupada would also narrate that, actually, all of them are waiting to cheat many others in the garb of being guru. They are just waiting to cheat the disciples, because the disciples have also come to Guru with material desire, and therefore the Guru will also cheat accordingly. So it's a world of the cheaters and the cheated. So the match between husband wife, the match between guru disciple happens based on what is the desire and the qualification of the respective people. At one point, Srila Prabhupada, when he was in college days, he was attracted by the cause of India's independence, the nationalist movement. And he in fact even gave up his degree. He became a follower of both Bose and Gandhiji also. So all of this fascination with nationalism, it continued till the point Prabhupada met Siddhanta Saraswati. And in the very first meeting, Siddhanta Saraswati smashed all misconceptions of what is the first priority of a person. And when these words were heard by Prabhupada, Prabhupada says, I was defeated because I argued saying that no, we must first fight for independence of India. No, India is under British rule. And who will hear the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu unless we free India first, unless we ourselves get rid of foreigners? And then the answer that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave, it smashed all the speculations and all the so-called teachings that had entered the mind of Srila Prabhupada. This is exactly what is happening here. Malayadhvaj defeated other kings and princes who were hoping to marry Vaidarbhi. So the first indication of a spiritual master is that he is so powerful that now instead of fighting physically with swords and bows and arrows and guns, he defeats by logic, by the force of arguments, the wrong conceptions of absolute truth being propagated by so-called gurus. That is the first qualification. So Pandeha means one who is situated in knowledge. So Maladhvaj was inhabitant of the country called Pandu, which means he was strongly situated in knowledge of the absolute truth. So Siddhanta Saraswati could defeat the arguments presented by Srila Prabhupada. And in this way, a qualified disciple obtained a qualified guru. We also see that similar such pastimes are happening. When Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die, he gave up his kingdom immediately. That indicated his seriousness in life. And after giving up his kingdom, he went in search of somebody who could enlighten him with some questions that he had. And one of the questions was, what is the duty of a dying man? Because Parikshit was so serious as a seeker of the absolute truth, because he had such serious questions, and he already showed his seriousness by giving up his kingdom, accepting the curse that he would die in 7 days. Because he was so serious, he met the best, topmost speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami. It is very amazing. There was actually no chance that a person like Parikshit could meet a guru like Shukadev Goswami in ordinary life, in ordinary circumstances. No chance only. Neither was Parikshit looking for a guru when he was sitting on the throne and he was a king, nor was Shukadev Goswami looking for a disciple. Nor was externally, if somebody had suggested Parikshit, hey, you know, see this 16-year-old boy, not even wearing clothes, he's your guru. If somebody had told this to Parikshit, it was not possible to accept such a suggestion also. So the meeting between guru and disciple is actually the most auspicious event. And how it happens is all is beyond our understanding. It is inconceivable. Just like when a girl is ready for marriage, automatically the boy comes and the marriage happens. Of course, there is some effort, like put your name in the marriage board. Then you put a list of conditions in the marriage board. You know, and then Tulsi Prabhu and team Shankar Panithuru will do some filtering, you know, and then send some matches and all. But actually it is quite inconceivable, because two people unite by a higher arrangement, by the will of providence. Similarly, we see that Dhruva Maharaj was very serious. His mother said, if you want to fulfill your desires, you have to go to Vishnu. No other way out. So Dhruva became so serious about meeting Dhruva became so serious about meeting Vishnu, that by the arrangement of providence, Narad Muni had to personally come and guide Dhruva. No other person could have guided Dhruva in that situation. So Dhruva's qualification was so high that Narad Muni personally came and gave him the right instructions. So this matchmaking between boy and girl, and this matchmaking between guru and disciple, is a very amazing topic. And just as a wife loves to tell her friends how I met my husband, or the husband loves to tell his friends how I met my wife, you know, how the meeting happened, what questions we asked, how we accepted each other, like this, they love to tell all this. Similarly, the disciples of the guru, they love to tell their friends how I met my spiritual master, what questions I asked him, what did I observe in my spiritual master, what qualities of the spiritual master inspired me. And in this way, there is very thick exchange of inspiration between the disciples of the guru, and the disciples become amazed seeing that this person accepted him as guru because he was inspired in this way, and I accepted because I was inspired in that way, and somebody else accepted because he was inspired in that way. And in this way, the disciple comes to know about more and more glories of the spiritual master. We also see the other side. What happens when the disciple is not serious? Then what kind of guru he will get? So, from the scriptures again, we see that Shukracharya was the guru of Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj was approached by Vamandev for the charity of 3 steps of land. And Shukracharya instantly figured out that he is Vishnu in the disguised of a small Brahman boy. And he is going to cheat Bali. Specifically, he is going to take away all the land, all the accumulation of Bali, which Bali had got after a long fight with the demigods. Because he had defeated even the demigods by the blessings of Shukracharya. And all of those accumulations will be stolen by Vamandev. This Shukracharya understood. So Shukracharya was under the impression that I have a disciple who is from Daitya Kul. And what is the propensity, what is the attraction of the Daityas? Just to accumulate and enjoy. So Bali must be also one of the same Daityas. That he wants to protect what he has accumulated and enjoy what he has accumulated. So Shukracharya's advice to Bali was, reject the request of this Brahman boy for 3 steps of land. But very amazingly, Bali's qualification was so much that despite this advice given by his own guru, he did not deviate from the path of surrender to Krishna, and he accepted the request of Vamandev. So when, in general, a person is not inclined to surrender to Krishna, then the guru's advice is exactly that. Do not surrender to God. We also see another example. Indra had a guru. And Indra had accepted the guru to increase his influence, his power, his grandeur, his riches and so on. So there was a yajna being done by this guru for Indra. Now Indra is utilizing the Vedic sacrifices only to increase sense gratification, not actually to please Krishna. And now this guru is also doing the same, but guru also now has his own vested interest. So whatever oblations were being offered in the yajna, a part of the oblations this so-called guru was secretly offering for the enemies of Indra. Now, although they were enemies of Indra, but they were related to this guru. Yes? So this is what is happening. You may be very materially highly qualified like Indra, but as long as there is vested interest and not a search for the absolute truth, till then you will keep meeting gurus whose only business is to keep you in forgetfulness of the real goal of life. Now these are all examples from scriptures, but in everyday life we see such cases happening in wholesale, whether it's India or in the West or any other part of the world. This business of cheaters and cheated is going on everywhere, and there are hundreds and thousands of wholesale stories like that. Different gurus exploit disciples in different ways, and different disciples exploit guru in different ways. So this business of cheaters and cheated is actually going on. And so therefore, in this life, in this world, if one really wants good fortune for oneself and one really wants to achieve the purpose of human life, that is going back to Godhead, then one cannot say to guru, hey, you are not teaching me properly. Or who is that guru who can teach me properly? No. First you ask yourself whether my desire and my seriousness is of that kind. If it is so, you will get the right guru. Not only that, even if the guru does not give you right instruction, you will be able to see that, like Bali could see in the case of Shukracharya. So actually the onus is on us. It is our responsibility to maintain the seriousness of our search for God. It is always the disciple's seriousness, the seeker's seriousness, that determines who he meets. In fact, we see that Dhruva was also tested by Narad Muni. So Narad Muni said, hey, you are just a boy, just a small child, and some incident happened in your house. Your stepmother insulted you and your father kept quiet. That doesn't mean you have to go to jungle and do tapasya and please Vishnu. Just go back, forget the incidents and be happy and play with your friends and be happy in the palace. So in fact, Dhruva said, either you tell me how I can obtain Vishnu or get out of my way. So that is really the, the lesson, the eye-opener for all of us. We also see some more interesting things of things in this verse. Puranjan, who was up to now the king, a male, a Purush, an enjoyer, suddenly there is transition and he becomes a woman. And instead of being husband or Purush, now he's Stri and is going to get married and is going to be a wife. And the duty of the wife is to serve the husband whole life. The role is completely reversed. From enjoyer, he has suddenly taken the role of servant. From Purush or enjoyer, he has taken the role of now cooperating in the enjoyment of the husband. The wife cannot enjoy independently of the husband. And in fact, we see in the past verses what kind of life Puranjan had with his wife, Puranjani. So Puranjan remembers at the time of death that my wife served me in this manner, she served me in that manner. She would first offer food to me, then she would eat. She would allow, in the sense, she would take bath only after I have taken bath. She would attend to all my needs, emotional needs, physical needs, mental needs, whatever. And she never raised a voice, fought against me, and so on. She took care of my children, she took care of my family. She would give me advice and counsel and so on. So Puranjan is remembering the good qualities and the way the wife interacted with him. So we may think it is actually good culture. But actually the allegorical meaning, the deep meaning is that Puranjan is going to exhibit all of those qualities as a disciple of Malayadhvaja. You are getting the connection? He is a wife now, he is going to be serving the husband in exactly the same way his wife served him in the past. So his wife served him in a very nice manner. And actually all of those things are applicable between the relation of, in the relation of guru and disciple. The disciple must actually serve the guru in exactly the same manner. There is not much difference. And in fact, as we see in the verses going ahead, Malayadhvaj and Vaidarbhi, after marriage, they have a big family. They have 7 sons, they have a daughter, and the 7 sons beget even more sons and so on. So it's a big family. Just like Puranjan had a big family earlier, now Malayadhvaj and Vaidarbhi, they are going to have a very large family. So externally nothing has changed. But the difference is when Malayadhvaj is the husband. Because Malayadhvaj is a very powerful devotee, the family life of Vaidarbhi, instead of degrading as in the life of Puranjan, the family life, instead of degrading, it actually enhances devotional service. So externally, whether one is a man or a woman in this life or next life, actually nothing much will change. What is important to see that is to see that Puranjan changed his consciousness from being enjoyer and Purush and extracting seva from wife and Praja. From that consciousness, he changed it to serving the husband in the next life with the same determination and in the same culture, with the same inspiration, with the same quality. And of course, the husband is none other than the guru actually. So merely changing consciousness is required. Externally, nothing will change. When one accepts this change of consciousness, that the way I enjoyed life, I extracted seva from others who were dependent on me, I enjoyed my accumulations, the way I lived. Now what is diksha? What is marriage? What is diksha? Marriage is diksha here. What is diksha? Diksha means I have to now serve the guru with the same quality, with the same eagerness. Eagerness means I was so eager to enjoy. Now with the same eagerness I have to serve. That is the change of consciousness that is expected at the time of Diksha. In fact, Diksha means the disciple is ready to change consciousness from exploiting, enjoying to serving in submission. That is what is Diksha. So marriage of Vaidarbhi means by great fortune she agreed to transform into a sincere disciple ready to serve Guru in an excellent manner. And a very, you know, wonderful consequence of this transformation of consciousness is that we see that in the past few chapters of Puranjan Akhyan, Puranjan has many, many, you know, dialogues, as in Puranjan Uvach is happening. What is Puranjan Uvach? Puranjan is saying so many things to his wife, to his praja. Then Puranjan is speaking about his thoughts, his desires, and so on. So there are many, many verses in which Puranjan is speaking. And from this verse onwards, when Puranjan becomes Vaidarbhi, there is no dialogue for Puranjan left. Okay, Vaidarbhi does not speak a single word. Up to the point when Malayadhvaj gives up his life, several verses later, there is only one verse where Vaidarbhi is speaking. She is lamenting for the death of her husband. But her entire childhood, marriage and children and grandchildren, this entire journey, not even one verse Puranjani speaks. Sorry, Puranjani as in Vaidarbhi speaking. So the consequence of change in consciousness, accepting a guru and being serious in spiritual life, the consequence is one, or rather the symptom is that one stops prajalpa. So much prajalpa Puranjan was doing in his earlier life. So much prajalpa. All of that is stopped. All of that is stopped. And Vaidarbhi, now Puranjan as a woman, he is engaged thoroughly and heavily in devotional life by husband or guru Malayadhvaj. There is no time left for prajalpa. There is no time left for speculation. There is no time left for daydreaming. Simply day and night, the guru engages the disciple in devotional service. And now, what is this actually family that we are speaking of? You know, so Vaidarbhi gives birth to many children, 7 sons, 1 daughter, and the sons also beget more and so on. So the 7 sons, as we will see in the later chapters also, you know, the union between husband and wife produces a child that carries impressions from both husband and wife. So the child continues with the consciousness of the husband and wife. That is Garbhadhan Samskar, which actually tells how to beget progeny, who can be trained to become devotee. Okay. The union of guru and disciple is supposed to produce bhakti lata bij in the heart of the disciple. And it is the disciple's business to take care of this bhakti lata bij, grow it. In such a manner that he enjoys the fruits and so many others also in the family and the extended family, everybody enjoys the fruits. So we see that there is this remarkable transformation and the start of a very auspicious journey of Puranjan from being degraded in the past life to restarting and getting birth in the daughter of King Vidarbha, getting trained in devotional principles in the very childhood, then getting married to Malayadhwaja, who is a very powerful devotee and a king. So powerful devotee and king, as Prabhupada explains, is one who can establish devotional service, bhakti, as the topmost science amongst all branches of God realization and guides the disciple accordingly. See, Puranjan, he took only one life to become serious. Puranjan was not serious in his last life. And then he finally, you know, became old and he finally died. There is a very nice description of how he died and so on. But in this life, we see Puranjan is very serious. He marries the husband Malayadhwaja and perfects his life. He serves Guru very, very honestly, very seriously. Obtains the blessings of the Guru. And finally, the Paramatma Krishna in the heart reveals himself to Puranjan, instructs Puranjan, and Puranjan perfects his life as Vaidarbhi. So Puranjan took only one life to become serious in Krishna consciousness. Because Puranjan saw very, very attentively the effects of Kalakanya, that is old age. And he witnessed very attentively the way Yavanraj attacked, that is Bhaya attacked, and Prajwar attacked with all their 360 Gandharva soldiers day and night. So Puranjan became serious, got a guru and perfected his life. It took one experience of old age and death for Puranjan to become serious in spiritual life. So one experience of old age, birth, old age, disease and death, just one experience should be sufficient for us to become serious in spiritual life and stop prajalpa and get engaged in devotional service. Just one experience. So I'll conclude with this message of this verse, just a two-line message. Although the story is very beautiful and very gripping and allegorical and lot of deep, deep messages everywhere, we end up with a very light message for the day. Whether you are married, like Vaidarbhi or Puranjani, or whether you are a disciple who is initiated and you have a guru, stick to your position. Continue that relation. Do not break up. Because at the end of that relation, at the end of that service, at the end of that submissiveness, there is a transcendental reward awaiting all of us. So we'll end the discussion for now, and you know, the story will continue tomorrow with more speakers. So I think there is no time for question answers, so we'll just end at this point. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.